Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Collins!
Well, week five, week six in college football, week five in the NFL, mostly in the books. I think the theme is concern. Who are we concerned about? Who aren't we concerned about? Who needs a bit of a revamp? Who are we ready to send off to pasture? It's Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, of course, Mike Rizzo across from me, with Christian Catt, as always, behind the glass on a fine Monday, previewing a hurricane. Not the Miami Hurricanes, but Hurricane Milton, who has seemingly upgraded and is going to make his way through Florida here pretty soon. And as powerful of a hurricane as you could find, it seems, Florida cannot get any luck in terms of this. But there's something new for me and Mike, guys who just moved here. Hurricane prep. There's people who doomsday, and there's people that are ready to set up the lawn chair and watch it all unfold.
I think you're the latter, if I had to guess.
I agree. I think this. Listen, I could be completely wrong. This hurricane's gonna have to. He's gonna have to show me something, and then we could have a conversation. But people are acting like the world's about to. Listen, if you're in Tampa, there's cause for concern. But if you're in the South Florida area, from what I see, from my perspective, and listen, I am no meteorologist. I don't think.
And we've never seen a hurricane.
I've seen Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
And that was a pretty strong hurricane up north in northeast. But it's going to rain. People are ready to batten down the hatches. My parents are letting me know, saying, you got to drive north and don't stop till you're out of harm's way. Drive north. What? Drive north to where?
That'd be in harm's way, by the way.
Yeah. You want me to drive into the eye of the storm?
No, you're going to Georgia. Go hang out with Kirby Smart on the Athens campus.
I don't think I want anything to do with anything SEC after the weekend we just saw on the NCAA slate and what the SEC had to put up. But it was a packed week of sports. We'll get into a little hurricane, little Miami Hurricanes, a little NCAA, and a little NFL. A whole lot of teams lost. A whole lot of good teams lost. There's cause for concern on a whole lot of fronts. I think it starts, in my opinion, with what I saw from San Francisco yesterday.
Yeah, my Super Bowl pick. How does that look so far? I'm not high on the Cardinals, so I agree with you. I think this was a game that they had to win. I think this is a game where you look at, and it's got division implications too. I mean, you lost to the Cardinals. You lost to the Rams. They're 0-2 in the division. So they better figure it out sooner rather than later. It's not like they weren't able to run the ball either. Like, usually when I look at San Francisco and the reason they lost, it's all, well, they weren't able to do what they always do and they weren't able to run the ball. They had 153 yards on the ground. The problem was Brock Purdy and the two interceptions. Brock Purdy being 19 of 35 throwing the football. Is Brock, we talk about all the time on the program about top quarterbacks, and we love making our lists. We love making our tiers. Like, I don't even know where Brock Purdy falls on that right now. Maybe you could label it to a slow start. But, Colin, you got to get better quarterback production, and you can't throw those two interceptions in that game. Really think it hindered him.
So let's think about this for a second. The year the Rams went to the Super Bowl, the Niners had a 10-point lead in the second half and blew it. 2 weeks ago against the Rams, the Niners had a 10-point lead, blew it. Yesterday, Niners had a substantial lead. Blew it. The Atlanta Falcons played the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl 7 years ago. 28-3. Blew it. What's the underlying variable there?
Got to finish.
Kyle Shanahan.
Got to get across the finish line.
We know how good of a coach he is with the X's and the O's. Seemingly still has a problem closing games. At a certain point, something's got to click. Something's got to click. And with Shanahan and seemingly how he runs his team, it's almost like he has a difficult time playing ahead. The Niners led the Chiefs the first time the Chiefs beat them in the fourth quarter.
They went to overtime last year, and they were. I understand, you know, you give Mahomes the ball back.
They blew that game with the Tyreek Hill deep shot at the end of the game.
Yep.
At a certain point, you got to learn how to close a game. This is, and I know this is not the Super Bowl, but the fact that this has happened in a Super Bowl, this has happened in a conference title game, this has happened now twice this season. They were leading 24-14 over the Rams in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago.
And then 23-10 at halftime against the Cardinals.
At a certain point, Kyle, what are we doing? There's multiple quarterbacks that you had Matt Ryan, Garoppolo, and Purdy now. At a certain point, what is going wrong?
Is it... Are they getting too complacent? Are they trying to run the ball?
Or are they not running
the second half?
Or are they not running the ball?
Right. I mean, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy are anything to write home about. Now, people would disagree with me about Purdy. People love Purdy.
I like Purdy too. I think Purdy's a good player.
I know we did this last week, but like I would take the likes of probably Baker Mayfield and Jordan Love over Brock Purdy. But that's just my opinion. Do I think Brock Purdy can win in a Kyle Shanahan-style offense? Absolutely. He almost did last year. I could argue if Shanahan...
And he played well in the game.
I could argue if Shanahan didn't take the ball first, okay, in that overtime, it's a whole nother conversation, they probably would have won that game. So I'm not hitting the panic button quite yet. I know 2-3 and 0-2 in your division is kind of doomsday. Now, the ironic part is, I mentioned they're 0-2 in the division. They're at Seattle. They're at Seattle coming up on Thursday. This is a short week for them. Thursday night football is Seahawks and Niners.
In Seattle.
Yes, with the 12th man. Are they 0-3 in this division come Thursday? Then I'll start panicking. Then you got to win your next three.
This is reflective of a much bigger theme with how Kyle Shanahan manages these games. He cannot close a game. It's almost like winning by 30 is better. Is so much. It makes the world of a difference comparatively to winning by 10. 10 points is a two possession lead is Kyle Shanahan's worst nightmare. It's his worst nightmare.
And it shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be.
That's the reason.
They would rather
laughing.
Win by 3 than win by 10.
McVay or Shanahan? You take McVay.
McVay? He's won the big one. But the idea
because of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yes. The idea that this has been a consistent problem is absurd. Twice this season. And this is, you can't chalk this up to all Purdy. This is game plan at this point. Mm-hmm. They had guys playing. Ayuk had a good game. Purdy played pretty well, all things considered, at least for 2.5-3 quarters. The run game had a couple moments. You can't just let these teams back in these games. It's incredible. And whether it's how he manages the game, there is, in my opinion, the fact that this is still coming up tells me it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
And it's not like Kyler Murray was the reason they lost, too. Murray threw for 195 yards, a pick, and a touchdown. And my surprise note of this game is that the Niners were only able to sack him one time. Kyler is a quarterback who likes to hang on to it, who likes to improvise, and a lot of times that comes with sacks, that comes with maybe a couple of turnovers. I know he had an interception, but one sack for that gaunted San Francisco defense I thought was... you know, a glaring thing on the statistic sheet with Bosa and Warner and company at Devondre Campbell on that front seven.
Now, on the flip side of it, special teams played great. They had a touchdown via special teams.
Yep.
And, of course, Bosa had that terrific interception. Now, Purdy was not great, but to me, Niners had no business losing this game. None. Despite the issues with Purdy and here and there. So, at a certain point, I think they got to start to look in the mirror about what in the second half are we doing wrong that allows these teams to hang around.
And it's like 11:25 in the fourth quarter is when the Cardinals scored. They went on a 12-play, 73-yard drive. You're telling me for 11 minutes, the Kyle Shanahan offense that I hoot and holler about, the Kyle Shanahan coach who I wish was my head coach for my football team, couldn't score, couldn't get a field goal, couldn't get a touchdown in 11 minutes. In 11 minutes at home, Colin, for 11 minutes in the fourth quarter, they didn't score. And not to mention, they got shut out in the second half. They didn't score a single point in the second half. That's the problem. That's the problem right there, getting shut out in the second half. You mentioned what is it? It wasn't necessarily the run game. Maybe it was Purdy in the two interceptions, but it's a reoccurring thing. And I know Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to be remembered as the runner-up, right? He doesn't want to be remembered as the coach that gets there, but just quite doesn't have enough at the end. And I know that Super Bowl last year isn't sitting well with him. But, Kyle, when I look at it, a division game against an opponent you're better than and you don't score in the second half at home, that's flat-out embarrassing.
Yeah.
And now flat-out embarrassing.
And because of that, this fancies the question. Is this win? People have brought it up, and maybe it's a little early, but it's worth discussing. Is this window, can you see the shutters on the side starting to come in on the sun? Like, is this starting to... Are the walls starting to shrink in on what the Niners are trying to do consistently?
I think it is if Purdy isn't the guy. I think as long as Brock Purdy plays at a pretty high level, this team will be all right. Now, you're going to have to pay him. Are you going to pay him?
I think the problem lies everywhere else because there's so much you have to make sure that goes well in terms of compensating your players, number one, and number two, keeping them healthy. Injury bugs happen. I understand. There's nothing you could do about that. And the Niners are better than a whole lot of other teams at replacing guys and not feeling the bruise as much. Christian McCaffrey is a good example. But these guys are getting older. Trent Williams is 40 years old. McCaffrey, we don't even know what's going on with his legs. Samuel is on the higher age limit of a wide receiver. You paid Ayuk. You don't even know if he's worth it at this point. And then
Kittle's hurt a lot.
Kittle's now rarely available. At a certain point, are the walls shrinking in on this core of the Niners? If you get the injury bug this year, everybody's a year older next year, you can't just run it back because financially it's just not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many things you got to work out from a logistical perspective and getting everybody on the field. And that doesn't even consider the fact that medically, it's a whole nother loophole to get everybody on the field in that regard.
I think
the walls are shrinking in on the Niners a little bit.
You got to look at for me, Kyle, you got to look at the head coach and you got to look at the quarterback. You didn't score a single point in the second half. And I feel like a lot of these times where the Niners struggle and they blow these leads is because they got nothing going offensively late in these games. The quarterback and the head coach got to figure it out. And everyone, I know I already brought up the whole Kyle Shanahan offense. If we're going to sit here and call Kyle Shanahan one of the better play callers in recent history of this league, I got to see a better effort. And I start with the quarterback. You have to be able to put up points. The defense, I could argue the defense did their job.
Well,
I know
yeah.
the 11 points in the fourth quarter, Colin, the field goal and the two-point conversion with the touchdown hurts. But I could argue the defense did enough to win that
But here's
game.
The problem. Shanahan's done this with three quarterbacks now. So I agree. You're right. You need him a little bit more out of Purdy. But the idea that
so we're looking at we're looking
the spotlight
at the
is Shanahan.
Yeah, we're looking at the coach.
This is not just this doesn't happen once. Okay, that might be a fluke. Twice, all right. Chalk it up to lightning strikes twice. Three times is a pattern. Three players, three quarterbacks: Matt Ryan, Garoppolo, and now Purdy.
Shanahan would argue that I feel like obviously he wouldn't specifically speak on this, but I feel like Shanahan's defense would be. Sometimes, you know, luck doesn't go your way when you get there, you know. And last year, you saw the Niners start out hot. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4. They were 5-0 heading into that Cleveland game, and Moody missed the field goal last year. They damn near could have been 6-0. I wanted to maybe track it back to, oh, the Niners have kind of had slow starts, but this is a little uncharacteristic of Shanahan teams the last couple of years.
Mm.
So as much as I want to chalk it up to it's just a slow start, they'll figure it out. You're really opening up my eyes a little bit with the whole quarterback thing. I don't know where you're at with Garoppolo. I always saw Garoppolo held back Shanahan. But now, with Purdy the last couple of years, and specifically kind of blowing the Super Bowl. Now, do you think the Super Bowl was on Purdy and Shanahan? I think it was more or less on Patrick Mahomes being great and the Chiefs doing whatever they needed to do.
Yeah, that was a mojo game.
That's what I mean.
That,
so like
the one thing I'll say in combativeness to the slow start part is this is nothing. I mean, last year they started great, and then you kind of maintained it and you had a good season. The year before that was the year that Purdy really came out. They started, I think, 3-4, and they finished like 13-4. So that this is nothing that's foreign, but the idea that everybody's a little older, it's 2 years later. You can't just rely on these miraculous turnarounds year by year. That's what I'll say to that. But it to me, this is a major Shanahan recurrence that I think at least should be talked about.
I think, this, and the point I'm trying to make is, I think there are only two head coaches in this league I would take outside of Kyle Shanahan. That's Andy Reid and McVay. That's why I was interested to hear what you thought about McVay. And now McVay's been there twice, and he's won once. Shanahan's been there multiple times too, but he's just never won the big one. But I still think Shanahan is a top three coach in this league. I still would take him over, what is that, 95% of the league.
Of course, but this is a knock. This is your legacy at the moment if you're Kyle Shanahan. You come from a gifted family of football minds, and you have been a part of some terrific coaching trees, and you've produced a whole lot of talent in your own coaching tree. But this is your legacy. Your legacy is that you cannot close games consistently.
Is it a matter of time? I was always under the assumption with Shanahan, it's only a matter of time until he wins a Super Bowl. Andy Reid's not always going to be in Kansas City.
People said that about the Bills in the 90s.
Correct.
Only a matter of time.
Is he going to be the best runner-up like Jim Kelly? And I apologize, the head coach for the Bills at the time is slipping me. But are you going to be the Buffalo Bills?
Mark Levy. I think it was Levy.
Are you going to be the Bills, Colin, or are you going to be a team that finally gets over the hedge?
Yeah. So that's the theme with Kyle Shanahan. This is a consistent problem. But luckily, the Niners aren't the only good team that lost over the weekend. Plenty of other teams lost over the weekend, especially on the college side of things. Most notably, Vanderbilt, the Commodores.
How about that?
Nashville representing. Vanderbilt taking down Alabama, rushing the field, taking the goalpost down to the river. That's a first.
Saw that thing on Broadway.
That's a first. They lost. Missouri lost at A&M. Miami was basically on death's door of losing and should have lost, other than a bogus targeting penalty, which comes up every week, and it drives me absolutely crazy. And Tennessee loses. Whole lot of college teams losing. Of those four that I just mentioned, which causes for the most concern? That's the idea of the show, concern. Alabama, Tennessee, Missouri, Miami. The poll's up at ESPN West Palm on X. Phone lines are also open, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Our Monday poll brings a friendly reminder from the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. This general election is November 5th. You have to be registered to vote by today in order to make sure your voice is heard. That's today. Your voice is your voice, and we're here to make it count. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov for all the information you need to be ready to go in November. Once again, you have to be registered by today. So go check it out. Voteflorida.gov for all the info you need. We'll talk about that and much more. The phone lines are open. Once again, 888-760-3776. Who is cause for the most concern? We'll be back after this at Russo and Rizzo live on ESPN 106.3.
Kane is in the building.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3 from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. It's hurricane season. Hurricane Milton's going to come make his presence felt over here in the Florida area, but especially the South Florida area in the coming days. This is a first for me. But it seems like Milton is as strong as they come. But to me, I'm not a doomsdayer. I think we'll be okay. That's just my opinion. Nonetheless, it's Russo and Rizzo live here. How do I get my week started? When everybody's worried about the hurricane, everybody's worried about getting water, toilet paper, all that crap. How do I get my mind off it? I go to F45 over here in downtown West Palm Beach or in the Wellington locations as well. F45, it's the perfect opportunity to exercise in and out, 45 minutes, classes every hour. You got two coaches on site helping you out. It's group setting, it's social, it's meant to get in, out, accommodate your schedule. It's easy, it's so fun. Yeah, I love it. It's a great way to get a sweat going. No, I thought I worked out pretty hard and pretty well when I was doing it solo at a normal gym, but then I went to F45 and realized how much more I could be pushing myself and how much more effort I could be putting forth into that functional movement. It's not necessarily the Olympic lifts, but it's more functional at F45. They got their challenge coming up this week, so you can get involved for a little over $100, I believe, from now until the week before Thanksgiving. You get BMI indexes. You get to get unlimited classes. Get involved. Check out F45 on their Instagram page at F45 West Palm Beach. It's a whole lot of fun. It's a great way to get a sweat going. No concern when I go to F45, but there is concern when I watch college football. And there was concern when I watched Alabama. And it was one of those games where Vanderbilt comes out, they strike first. They punch hard in that first half. And you're thinking, okay, now this is just going to be Bama wakes up at half.
Bama, it was 23-7.
And then Bama comes out in the second half, immediately goes for a touchdown, 23-21. Okay, this game's going to be a 40-point victory for Alabama. Vanderbilt hangs on.
Yeah.
And people were getting mad that, you know, oh, Alabama, this is only when people beat Alabama do they rush the field. You're damn right. It's Alabama.
And it's the number one team in the country.
Rush that field.
Yeah, for
Take that goalpost.
Bro, the number one team in the country and you're Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt.
Underrated. They almost had
what
Missouri.
I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but they were like 0 for whatever against top five opponent. They never beat a top five opponent before in football. Of course they're going to strike. Colin, this is a program that has been relevant since Smoke and Jay's Cutler, before your time. Honest to God. Of course they're going to storm the field and take... C-Cad, you remember Smoke and Jay's Cutler?
Not in a Vanderbilt uniform.
Really?
No. Yeah, no.
Come on.
I know him...
Got some ancient.
Only know him as a Bear. And a Dolphin.
They thought
remember him as a Bronco? We're getting off topic.
They thought he was a tight end, and then they saw his QB tape. Like, this guy's pretty good.
But Colin, regardless, have not been relevant since Cutler, and I have no problem with them storming the field. I loved every second of seeing those Vanderbilt students on Broadway with the goalposts. That's what college is about.
I agree.
That's what college is about.
And Nashville's not a college city, and it's good to have a little college feel there. Good for Vanderbilt there. Diego Pavia, that quarterback, pesky player. Small, 6 feet, played for New Mexico, played on JUCO before that. That's a guy that's easy to root for in the SEC, trying to make a name for himself.
4 incompletions. 16-20 for 252 and two touchdowns.
And that last touchdown where it was 4th-and-1, you thought they'd run it because that's what they've been doing all game, and he fires it in downfield for a 40-yard touchdown. That is gutsy.
Gets that gaunted Bama defense.
Now, let's flip this a little bit to the Alabama side of things. A little bit of a hangover game after that Georgia win.
Well, they never established the run. I think that's where they went wrong.
Now, is this in any way concerning for Alabama? That's the question I have. Is this concerning in your head?
I think so. Just because, like, I feel like they lost the line of scrimmage. And when you're Alabama, you're not allowed to lose the line of scrimmage with the athletes you have up front. The good news for Bama, though, their hardest game is Tennessee. I think we all found out that Missouri is kind of meh. Like, we were all wondering.
It's a paper tiger.
I liked them going into the year because of Luther Burden and their veteran quarterback, but I think we found out that they're a bit on the fraud side. But at Tennessee, home versus Missouri, at Oklahoma, at LSU, none of those games scare me. And I could even argue...
Tennessee doesn't scare you?
No.
Why?
I wasn't real... I don't want
to
say...
You were ready to crown Tennessee champion about four days ago.
No, I wasn't.
I
like Nico I. I like him as a sophomore quarterback to be elite, hopefully one day in the NFL and throughout the SEC for the next, you know, I know we're almost halfway through this year, but year and a half. Partner, I think it's a whole lot of these teams are going to eat each other. If Alabama loses two games, I still think they're in the college football playoff with that win against Georgia. Now, I'm banking on them winning one of these games between Tennessee and LSU. Colin, at LSU, at Tennessee, those are their two toughest games. I think Missouri and at Oklahoma, I think they could probably win those games convincingly. I know this is a team that just lost to Vanderbilt, folks. But I'm going to, you said it earlier, I'm going to piggyback off of it. It was a bit of a hangover. It was a bit of a, you know, oh, we're down 23-7, but we're going to find a way. And Kyle, they just never found a way.
Well, to that point, that's why I don't have a ton of concern, because Bama can afford this. They bought themselves that leash. And I'm not saying it was anything pretty. It was not a pretty game for Alabama. But we've seen it in the past. Bama can drop a game a year, can drop a game or two a year. And now in the new landscape of college football, they could drop two games a year and be okay.
I think they would. You agree with me that they have to go 3-1 in these games at Tennessee, home versus Missouri, at LSU, at Oklahoma. I think if they want to make the playoff, they can't have more than two losses.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, I mean, three regular season SEC losses is probably pretty daunting. So I think two would get you either that SEC bid because you're assuming that Georgia will lose one more.
Yeah, and I think if you lose three, you're leaving it in the committee's hands. And I know the committee would love to have Alabama. Trust me, they're going to give Alabama for the benefit of the doubt.
Statistically, I think if Bama does go 3-1, unless Texas A&M continues what they're doing and maintains consistency, because they do not have an impossible schedule. They only have LSU and then Texas, which is at home the last game of the year. So A&M has actually a chance here to finish with one loss and all of a sudden buy themselves a bid in the SEC championship game. Because you're going to assume that it's going to be Texas. Texas is going to be that team that has the leeway to get to that SEC championship game. But statistically, Bama's got the head-to-head over Georgia. And if they beat Tennessee, they got the head-to-head over them. And Tennessee's already got two losses.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, their Bama has that one-game leeway. And unless you're concerned about LSU keeping it up or Texas A&M keeping it up, two losses with a couple of head-to-head winners against other two-loss teams, you're okay with that. And then Bama gets that bid and gets the bid to the championship game, which will automatically get them a bid into the playoff.
I think that Texas has the easiest schedule among the teams we just named, too, by the way. And all of a sudden, that win at Michigan doesn't look very good. You know, everyone's like, oh, well, they're at Michigan. That's a really tough game, defending national champions.
Yeah, they got Georgia.
Home against Georgia.
They got Georgia.
And then, but the other, Colin, you're home for that. And the other games, Oklahoma at A&M. I don't rate A&M and I don't rate Oklahoma. I thought Oklahoma needed to have Jackson Arnold at an elite level to be able to compete this year. And he's not even the quarterback anymore.
The one thing I'll say about,
Oklahoma, by the skin of their you know what, beat Auburn. And, I mean, Auburn is just a pitiful football team. I think we could all agree there.
Yeah, but Oklahoma is trending upward. They're coming off a bye, so I'll give them. I think that game's always pretty good and pretty close. And it's a rivalry game, so because of that, I'll keep the door open on that one. But in terms of the other SEC teams, I don't think LSU, despite not having an impossible schedule, they got Ole Miss this week.
Yeah, USC loss looks bad. I will say that.
That looks bad. But Alabama's in a position here where they could afford that loss because they got the head over Georgia. And it's a matter of scheduling at this point. This is what this league has turned to. It's the scheduling.
Can I throw more mayhem in, Colin? Ole Miss. They lost against Kentucky and they bounced back and won at South Carolina. Ole Miss.
They still have Alabama. I mean,
they're
Georgia.
Home, and that's a home game for them. And I've kind of come off my high horse a little bit of the, look out, Kirby on the road against a good opponent. You know, I think he proved he could get his team ready to go even if it is in the second half. He was not ready to go in the first half. But home against Georgia, if Ole Miss beats Georgia, I think the committee is going to have their hands full.
Ole Miss is as fraudulent as they come. I've watched them play in a couple games now.
That's my buddy Lane Kiffin.
They're very, very gimmicky. They're Miami Dolphins-esque. If they're not getting that deep shot that they try 1,000 times a game, 1,000 times that kid Jackson Dart is airing the ball out 50
chucking.
Yards down the sideline. He doesn't even care. It doesn't matter if anybody's there. He's chucking it. And that's just gimmicky. And I think Kentucky showed the blueprint on them. Don't give them the ball and defend the deep shot.
Got a home loss, too, to Kentucky.
So in terms of teams I'm concerned about, I think A&M is trending upward. They got a good defense and a good run game. And because
look at you selling the you want to know who that does it? That helps Notre Dame, sadly.
Yeah.
That helps those frauds over there at South Bend. So I don't like to hear that.
Yeah. And I mean, that Louisville loss doesn't mean anything, but Notre Dame's pacing themselves to get a bid.
But I'm not necessarily sold on A&M. I think they need to play the upper echelon.
Of those teams that lost, it's a poll question at ESPN West Palm on X. This is Missouri. This is Alabama, Tennessee. And Miami will include, because Miami now 2 straight weeks here where they escape by the skin of their teeth. And I thought the first one was a good call against Virginia Tech. I think they got the right call on the field. If you want to argue that they shouldn't have overturned it because there wasn't indisputable evidence, it doesn't matter because the call on the field was incorrect.
Right.
And the Berkeley win, where they edged their way back and had that targeting call that gave that they reversed and didn't give Berkeley a first down with a minute 50 to go, and Miami escapes that. There's a ton of concern in Miami. So, of those four teams, who are you most concerned about?
It's Bama, just because I think they have the tougher schedule. If Alabama were to go into that gauntlet that I just mentioned of Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, and the fourth is slipping my mind at the moment. Sorry, Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma. I think it's Alabama because of that stretch. If they would have beat Vanderbilt, beat South Carolina at home, and went 2-2 in those games, I thought they would have been in, no matter what. Now, you really set yourself up with a thin margin of error. Miami, I think, is winning that conference outright because I don't think anyone's good in the ACC. And I know
you're still out on Clemson.
Oh, my God, dude. Come on.
There's got to be a conversation eventually, especially for a team that is... Hold on.
Come on.
Hold on.
Come on.
Miami has just escaped by the skin of their teeth against Berkeley, the Brainiacs. And then Virginia Tech took them down to the wire. So it's not like this is going to be a walk in the park for Miami, because it's not. Because Miami hasn't made it a walk in the park at all.
And listen, I Coach Sweeney, one of the best. I hate to keep doomsdaying Dabo Sweeney here. App State, NC State, Stanford, and Florida State. I'm waiting for them to play someone good. Oh, wait, they did. And lost 34-3 on a neutral site. That's why I don't rate Clemson. And Colin, maybe you're right. Maybe the whole ACC is just a whole pile of garbage. Maybe they're going to get a bid this year and absolutely embarrass themselves after they get the bye. Maybe that will be the case, but I still think Miami is a better football team than them. I wouldn't be shocked if Louisville or Virginia Tech gives Clemson a game. Now, the toughest game Clemson has on their schedule is at Pitt. So at Wake Forest, Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, at Pitt, the Citadel, and South Carolina. That's Clemson's schedule. What are we doing? You want to know what they're doing? They're setting them up to be in the ACC championship.
We were talking about this with Miami, and Miami has now escaped twice. So I think the fact that they're number one, Miami at least, not battle-tested, is going to catch up to them. At the very least, you could say Clemson is battle-tested.
They're battle-tested against bad teams. Would you agree, Miami? Battle-tested against bad teams.
Sure. Yeah,
they've been in these games. The reason I think they're a little bit seasoned and battle-tested is because they've had to come back now two different times. I agree with you. The call was egregious in Berkeley. The kids should wouldn't be.
He should have gotten.
Agreed. All right. But they've been in close games. Clemson has not been in a close game.
Sure. They played a best team.
And got, all right. I hate to keep doomsdaying Dabo.
But they're
going to
be in the mix. They're going
to
be in the mix.
3 points.
They're going to be in the mix, and they might even be the mix for the second bid if that runner-up gets a bid. They might even be the mix for that because of their easy schedule.
But I'd go
for me. Yeah. So you're going Alabama.
Bama. I'm going Bama just because of those four game schedule. I think it's harder than on anybody, and I just because I don't necessarily rate Tennessee, I'm going to go Alabama.
I think that Missouri is the easy one here because Tennessee's got a tough schedule, I understand, but I think they're better than Missouri. Missouri, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how Missouri's got a relatively favorable schedule and has a chance here to get at one of those at-large SEC bids just off of strength of schedule alone. And yeah, they have talent, but we kind of knew that they're not the top end, but because of this schedule, they could sneak in. Not only have they played two tight games in a row before this last week, they had that tight game against Boston College at home, in which Boston College, it was closer than the score indicates. But Vanderbilt, they essentially should have lost that one. And then they got killed at Kyle Field.
Embarrassed.
So now Missouri's sitting here where a week ago it was do what you have to do, beat the teams you have to beat, and you're probably going to get a bid. Now it's we might be one of the odd men out because A&M's resurgence and a couple other SEC teams that are playing better than us. So I think there's a lot of concern that Missouri could fall into no man's land, in a sense, after that loss over the weekend. And it was a bad one at that.
It was. And their schedule, it sets up where their one loss was supposed to be Alabama, and that was it, right? I mean, UMass, Auburn, at Alabama, home versus Oklahoma, at South Carolina, at Starkville, who is horrible this year. Mississippi State is horrible. Home against Arkansas. So it was set up that Missouri would beat everybody
else.
They
could sneak behind the pack. Exactly. They're sneaking behind the pack. And now you're screwed.
Lose to Alabama. And now it's going to come down to if they could beat
Now you need a statement win. Not even against Alabama, but Oklahoma, you absolutely have to win.
Do you rate Oklahoma still?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because they got the young quarterback and they played completely empty-handed last week and they put up a good performance.
I'll be ready for the Red River rivalry this week. I'll tell you, we got a great slate of college coming up. Not to look too far ahead, but I mean, you got LSU in a tough one. You got Texas and Oklahoma. You got my Buckeyes in Oregon. The Buckeyes in Oregon. So I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll as far as this weekend.
Does this cause for concern for the Miami side of things, for Alabama, for Missouri? Are those teams, is it concerning for what we have seen from them the past few weeks? I think yes, especially on Miami. I think that team is destined to get pounded by a good team. But that is just my take. 888-760-3776. Phone lines open. 888-760-3776. We continue the conversation next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Now, if you're a salesman of a bridge of snake oil, anything of the scamming remarks, listen, I got an interested buyer, and he's across from me. Mike Rizzo will
I'm
buy,
not buying
he'll
it.
He'll buy anything.
You're C-cat. The mark.
He'll buy
C-cat.
Know, the separate the bed springs from the bed. You have to buy those separately. If you're a scammer, go to Mike Rizzo because this guy falls for anything. He'll buy the clouds in the sky if they're there for sale.
There are 14 Nigeria princes that have been supported by Mike Rizzo.
Our IT department apparently sends out phishing emails, and allegedly, I want to say this, I allegedly clicked on two of them. I did not click on any of them. And now I have a meeting.
What do you mean IT is lying?
They are.
They've got it out for Mike Rizzo?
I think they do. I allegedly clicked on two of them.
What was the email?
I have no idea. I don't even know what they're talking about.
I would be okay with it if he knew it was a scam. I made a mistake. But the fact that you didn't know it was a scam makes it a lot worse.
He still thinks it's legitimate.
If anyone knows how busy I am at this station, it's you two. You think myself and Brian Rowitz have the time to jump on IT?
You're compromising the station, Mike.
Oh, I'm not.
Yes.
These are emails sent by our IT department.
In preparation for the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I am still convinced I never clicked on a single one.
But that's the problem, because you're so busy.
You don't know.
That
yes.
You're looking at these emails and you take it for face value each and every time. So it's like, oh, I guess my manager does need this form immediately right now. Here's my credit card.
Did I win a free Xbox? Oh, snap, check this out. And then you put in your credit card information, put in the station address, put in Dave Druda's social security number.
No.
And then all of a sudden, it gets sold online and Mike doesn't understand that it's a problem.
I have 9 assignments that I have to do for IT.
You've got homework because you're a bad boy.
9 assignments.
Don't click on phishing emails, Mike.
I don't.
Don't.
I don't.
You clearly do.
You clearly do. Very clearly, Mike.
I don't.
They're not doing this because they think it's funny. They're doing this because clearly you screwed up.
9 outstanding assignments. These people are emailing me on the weekend. They're emailing and bothering Brian Rowitz, who has 2 small children, on the weekend because I clicked on a fake email that was sent by the IT department. Allegedly.
Step one is denial. Step two is acceptance.
We're at
the acceptance phase.
Whatever. I'm just going to do what I have to do.
You got to stop compromising the station,
now,
Mike.
Now, I'm not compromising anything.
You got to stop compromising.
Now, Colin, instead of helping prepare for the show tomorrow, I have 9 assignments I have to do for the IT department. 9. Did I mention 9?
No.
Okay.
Didn't, actually.
All right.
That's good to know.
I'm happy about this. I think this is good.
All right. Perfect. You guys could prep for the show all by yourself tomorrow. Then.
This is a learning experience.
I got a meeting at 10 a.m. I got to test the line tomorrow at 10 a.m. And then when I get back, it's homework. You're going to see me feel like I'm at Alden Library at Ohio University again. Ridiculous.
You screwed up, Mike. You put people at risk.
Yes, it's like a police officer who discharges their weapon in a situation they shouldn't have, and now they got to go through training.
This is quite an example.
Yes, but, you saw the movie The Other Guys?
The principal is there. Yes.
Yeah, Will
the
Ferrell.
The principal is there.
My God,
they trusted you with having a company email and being involved at this station, and you took that trust, and you took a crap on it.
And you fire the weapon in the office. Like the other guys, you get a wooden gun now.
You had a desk pop. Jimmy, when was your last desk pop? September 08. You're Will Ferrell in that movie. Have you seen this movie?
Of course I have. He gets the wooden gun and
this is your
they give him
gun.
A whistle.
This
they
is
give
your
him
wooden
a,
gun.
C-Cat, they gave him a...
If you on one more phishing email and you get the whistle.
C-Cat, they gave him a whistle.
Exactly. So what's the equivalent for you? You're just going to get a Fisher-Price phone. You can't even use a phone anymore.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. They're going to give you like one of those old computers, the desktops, or with the box computers.
You're
you
not to be trusted.
You fire weapon in office.
Sorry, on, email. Goodbye.
You had a desk pop.
I wanted to read a couple of the assignments.
I don't know if we should be doing that. I mean, yeah. Of course, while he finds that, got to tell you.
The inside man. Double trouble. Security snapshots.
This is how much of an easy mark you are.
Double trouble.
Yes. You
so
fall
now,
for this stuff.
Now you're telling the scammers listening to the show to go and prepare themselves against the whatever you just said.
Yeah, you're a double agent. You're
and
giving
now
away the
they
secret.
Can study, and now you just help the hackers improve.
This is why you're in the trainings, because you're unveiling our secrets over the air.
Okay. Well.
Hard Rock Bet. Florida's official sports book for the first time ever. Bet on the Dolphins and the Hurricanes all season long. I'm telling you, if you haven't been betting, if you haven't been watching the season this so far, Hurricanes, it's been a dicey bet nonetheless, but you could finally bet on Hard Rock Bet. Go check it out. Last year, couldn't legally bet in Florida until week 14. We're now in week 5, week 6 now. You could bet on Hard Rock Bet each game. You could bet on touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, so much more. College football, MLB, the playoffs are now in full force. You could do it in the NFL. In week 1, a Florida bettor went 16 for 16 on a parlay.
Ooh-wee.
Picked every winner of every game. Correct? In the parlay, $15 bet. What did he turn it into? $104,000 in winnings. Did that on Hard Rock Bet. There's so many options. The Discover page is great. They give you the trendy picks if you don't really know where to go. It's the sports book for the experienced player. It's also the sports book for the first-time player. It's super accessible. It's super easy to get involved. All you got to do to get started is download Hard Rock Bet in the App Store or Google Play Store or go online to hardrock.bet. And guess what? If you try Hard Rock Bet now, you get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. This first bet could be a parlay. It could be a prop. It could be the over. Whatever you like to bet, any games you choose, you either win your first bet or get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. It's on Hard Rock Bet. Monday Night Football tonight. Plenty of playoff baseball. A huge slate of college football this weekend. This is the time to get involved at Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
You've got some futures ahead of you, don't you, Colin? Who are you rooting for this season?
I took Atlanta over 9.5, which is a good bet right now.
Looks good.
I took the Jets over.
Oh,
I'm in
boy.
Trouble.
Okay.
I didn't just win 10 games, though. Still in some trouble. I took the Rams over. I'm in some trouble there. And I took the Titans under. I'm in good shape there. They didn't win under 7 games.
Ooh, that number felt... Well, I mean, of course, it's easy to say now, but that's a good number for you.
Good number. So I like that. I like the new coaching staff and Levis was all problematic. So I like my picks there. And then I was terrible in baseball. I went 1-3. So I've had a rough two season stretch. I'm putting together my NBA and my NHL ones now.
One future bet will cash for me in baseball, and that's Tarek Skubal.
Cy Young?
Yeah.
I took the Cardinals under. That was the one I won. I took Cincinnati over, got screwed, 81.5. I took the Giants. They finished the game under 82.5.
Gosh, you were right there. I was all over that Cardinal under, too.
Yeah, I thought that was an easy one. I didn't think they would continue it.
Well, Goldschmidt and Arenado just aren't what they used to be. And you know.
Now, Mike Rizzo compromising the station.
Guess that's something. Yeah.
That's Christian Cat behind the glass. You got to go to some training. I like that.
Nine training sessions and then a meeting with the IT department, and my manager has to be on site.
Have you ever been scammed? 888-760-3776. Phone lines are open. I want to hear the story.
Well, yeah. So the equivalent, if we're going to do another one of those equivalencies with the other guys, with a police officer who fires a weapon he shouldn't have. You know, he's taken out of the field. He's put behind the desk. Rizzo's going to be taken from behind the mic. He's going to be doing shows to nobody.
Wow.
Just in a closet. You got to learn your lesson.
Because you compromised the station.
Uh-huh. You got to think long and hard before you answer these emails.
The good news is I allegedly clicked on a link that the IT department set up as a test. So I didn't completely screw anybody over. And like I said, this is all, you know, It's alleged.
Covering your bases here. No,
of course.
Mike, you got to own this.
I did not click on those links. I'm sorry. I know I didn't.
I did not click on those links. They're not setting up a meeting to congratulate you for not.
Fall on the sword, dude. You want to throw me under the bus? Fine. Wouldn't be the first time. I'll fall on the sword.
Mike,
I just don't know why my poor manager, Brian, our content director here, Brian Rowitz, I don't know why he has to be involved.
Because you're his responsibility. Uh-huh. He's the boss.
He failed all of us by allowing you to have an email account.
No, manager. He didn't. It's ridiculous.
They should send you letter by bird or by letter instead. Less chance of being scammed.
Smoke signals from the Rizzo residence.
Ridiculous.
Scammers would catch on.
Yeah.
Because now you're a target. Now that we just talked about it on air, you're a target.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
You know the reason why I'm so active to jump on you right now, Rizzo?
You've been scammed.
I have been, not scammed, but I've been caught by the same IT person. I did the time. I did the crime. I admitted it.
What'd you say? You just clicked the link?
I clicked the link I shouldn't have. That was a trap from our IT department to find out who the easy marks was. I went through the training. I'm a better person because of it. By not admitting that you got fooled by these scammers, you're kind of part of the problem, Riz.
Allegedly.
So that was CCAT behind the glass. Mike Rizzo, of course. Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo. CCAT, you disagreed with us when we were talking about Miami. And that concerning, if you want to put it that way, win over Berkeley following a long week after they beat Virginia Tech. Are you selling on Miami at this point? Or, I mean, at a certain point, what is your perspective on this now that they've had two basically neck-and-neck victories in a row?
Yeah, you can celebrate one of those by the skin of your teeth wins.
Because that happens.
It happens. It's a long season. When you are when you are Miami, and you go into Cal, game day's there, that's a big game. When you are hosting another ACC opponent in your own building, you're a big game. That game's going to happen. You can't have it happen twice, back-to-back, in primetime. That is a horrible black eye where I'm not waking up on Sunday yesterday as a Miami fan feeling good. I'm feeling like I walked into traffic with a blindfold and I somehow made it on the other end without getting hit by a truck. That's how I feel as a Miami fan.
Yeah.
Because that loss is going to come now.
Cal isn't like world beater, so I see what C-Cat's saying here. The moment they play a good team, they're probably going to lose is what I'm getting from that.
I think you don't even say good team.
Well, the problem is they haven't been able to really put together four quarters against a conference opponent. That is problematic. You're going to need to put together four quarters of football.
But like, who have they beaten too?
Florida was the big marquee win early in the season before we knew how we thought if
terrible
Florida's going to win a couple
was.
Of games, this could be one of them in the swamp.
I Miami's concerning. It doesn't sound like they're going to be able to put anything together because you're just not sold on it.
They scathed by Virginia Tech. They scathed by Cal on a questionable call, to say the least. And they beat South Florida, Ball State, Florida A&M, and Florida. And I'm sorry to all my Gator fans out there, a bunch of bums.
I think Florida State could actually beat them. As bad as Florida State has been this year, I think right now,
absolutely
I don't
not.
Have the line
not
ahead of me
home.
That game time
not,
is still.
Not at home.
Yes,
Florida,
watch out for
Clemson.
It.
Florida State is lifeless.
Hi, it's Evan Cohen from Unspoken.
I think Clemson. What's up, Evan? I think Clemson, they convincingly won against Florida State. I think Miami is
Florida State is lifeless.
I'm sorry, I lost Ross.
We need an email from the IT department to man behind the glass. Do some time.
That wasn't my fault.
No before, C-Cat. You got training.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Unbelievable.
No, but I seriously think that, watch out, I cannot wait until that line is posted by Hard Rock Bet, because I'll be camping out outside of Hard Rock Bet, even though it's on my phone. But I will definitely be taking the Seminoles in that game, even
I mean, are you though. Taking Louisville this weekend? They're at Louisville.
I think you get a wake up at Louisville. I'll see what the number is there. I'm not taking Louisville right now.
Louisville also coming off two losses.
So they need that game just as much.
Loss against Notre Dame, and who is it? This
SMU. Pet?
Thank you. Saw them in victory formation.
Miami fans should be absolutely petrified, because Heisman this, Heisman that. Cam Ward looked great, made a couple of great throws when he absolutely had to.
Hold that thought. I think that's an overreaction. Speaking of overreactions, we're going to get into Overreaction Monday next, presented by Hard Rock Bet. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.